Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Nick Augustine, and I'm here with attorney Joseph Robel from Joseph Robel Limited, the Chicago bankruptcy law firm. This is the Chicago Bankruptcy Update, featuring information, news, and updates in bankruptcy law. Financial troubles are stressful, and bankruptcy can be a solution for you. If you're considering filing for bankruptcy, Joseph Robel will courteously and professionally review your finances, answer all your questions, and provide information you need to allow you to decide for yourself if bankruptcy makes sense, has value, and is the best way to provide relief from your financial woes. I'd like to remind everyone that the on-demand links to these episodes can be found on our Blog Talk Radio host channel, and the information about the Chicago bankruptcy law firm of Joseph Robel as well is that located at www.chicagobankruptcy.com. You can also find links to these shows, these monthly programs, on the Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn pages as well, and you can find all of those from the website. Today's show is Bankruptcy Basics, March 2015, Bankruptcy Frequently Asked Questions. Here's a sampling of some of the topics that we're going to cover in our 30-minute program. Again, these are real questions from real people. They're anonymous, but their questions are out there, and we're going to answer them as best we can. First one is, for example, can I file for bankruptcy without being compelled to tell my spouse? How can I appeal a collection judgment if I wasn't present at the court date? Or what happens to a rental property in bankruptcy, and can I discharge unpaid rent? On the other side of it, what if you are the property owner and you have tenants? You're suing them for unpaid rent. One files bankruptcy. How do you collect from the other? Can you? Well, to answer a lot of these questions and more, we have Joseph Robel with us, and he's been a practicing attorney since 1973, has experience in a wide variety of legal matters relating to individuals and families. He presently concentrates his practice in consumer bankruptcy. Mr. Robel helps people get out of debt and get a fresh financial start. He's an active member in several bar associations and on the bankruptcy panel of the Pro Bono Program of Chicago Volunteer Legal Services. Robel earned a BA in psychology from Northwestern University in 1973, and he earned a JD from DePaul University Law School. He also served in the U.S. Army Reserve 363rd Civil Affairs Unit. By way of short disclaimer, this is a general information program. The advice shared on this show does not constitute legal advice. Communication with attorneys on callers on this show cannot give rise to an attorney-client relationship, and any questions that you may have specifically, you should direct to the bankruptcy law firm of Joseph Robel Limited and make an appointment to speak to an attorney by dialing 312-781-0996. Finally, all callers remain confidential and rights to this broadcast are reserved. It is time to say hello to Joe Robel. Joe, how are you doing today?
Nick, we're doing fine. How are you this beautiful morning in Chicago? We actually have sunshine and 50s.
Ooh, sunshine and 50s. Well, here in North Texas, we are at 70 degrees and a little bit of overcast. We had 85 yesterday, so...
Oh,
so we
gosh.
Have our summer now, and then during the summer months up there is what we call death here. The grass is brown, and everyone stays inside. It's kind of like the version of winter up north.
Well, I'm ready to roll. You ready to go?
I am. All right. So our questions today, we have a lot of interesting questions. And again, the only bad questions are the questions not asked. As we go, I'd like to mention to our folks listening at home, too, bankruptcy is complex. The laws change. If someone you know had a certain experience, it's pretty individualized to the person. So listen up, because things that you may believe as true may not be the case. Our first question is about a car accident, and the question is, who is responsible for this accident? It says, I had a car that broke down, gave it to my son, and then forgot to change the title to the car with the Department of Motor Vehicles. Well, the son let an unlicensed driver drive the car, and the person hit another car. There's no insurance on the car that's still in the person writing the question's name. It says there's damage to the car, but no injuries. This happened the day after. Okay, so where it comes into bankruptcy, this happened the day after a meeting of the creditors for their Chapter 13. So the question is, would this can they include it in the bankruptcy? And secondly, if they include it in the bankruptcy, can the other damages, can the other one go after my son?
Well, Nick, as so many things are in the law, this is sort of a multidisciplinary question. It deals not just with bankruptcy, but with negligence law. So the question sort of starts off, who's responsible for the accident? And the person posing the question who filed the bankruptcy really shouldn't be responsible here at all. He had nothing to do with causing the damage. The car was not in his possession. He did not give the car to someone who shouldn't be driving, but the responsibility accident could possibly be the son's fault, because the son let someone else use the car. That person didn't have a license, and if the son knew or should have known that the other person didn't have a license, in addition to the driver, of course, being responsible, the son could also. Now, to the bankruptcy part of the question, in a Chapter 13, which this particular questionnaire is doing, you cannot include any debt or claims that happened, that were incurred, that took place after the date of the filing of the Chapter 13. So a typical situation is someone may get medical bills or somehow get a credit card after a bankruptcy is filed and they want to include it in the 13. You can't do that. Here, the accident, which is a possible claim, which could often be paid in a Chapter 13, this took place after the filing. It can't go into the bankruptcy. But on the other hand, there's almost no reason to, because the filer of the bankruptcy, who did own the car, who gave it to his son, really is not going to be responsible for this accident, unless the law in the state that he lives in has a specific statute that sets forth that this could make him responsible, or the case law is such that includes negligence in a broader range than many other states.
So it really does depend on a variety of variables. Again, the point of what was included at the time of the bankruptcy filing being important. Our next
question.
That's
the key. That's the key. The date of the filing controls a lot of what happens and what can be included.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's another question. What if they were to voluntarily dismiss the bankruptcy, wait, and then refile?
Yes, that can be done. Then you have another issue. You know, as you can see, every time there's a question, it raises a second issue, or the facts change is another issue. Then the issue is what happened in that first case that you couldn't continue to pay. Normally, it's not difficult to refile a new case after a Chapter 13 is dismissed for non-payment, so that's probably not an issue. But that also varies from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. And in my area, it's pretty easy to do. In other parts of the country, it's a little more complicated. But the bottom line is, he shouldn't have to really worry about this claim, because I can't see him being responsible. It's not, he wasn't negligent. He didn't cause the accident.
All right. Well, best of luck to him, generally. So, hey, good luck. I don't know what else to say. All right. Our next one is about, also again, about vehicles, houses and vehicles. The person wants to know, if we were to declare bankruptcy, would we be able to keep our house and our vehicles? Says, my husband and I are drowning in credit card debt, and we're considering bankruptcy. We have our home and two cars, one of which will be paying off in a year, and the other still has 3 years left on the loan. We need a fresh start. My husband was laid off a few years ago, and that's when we got in too deep with our credit cards. We both have good jobs, but by the time we make the minimum payments on everything, we barely have enough money left. Any help will be greatly appreciated. Unfortunate situation. This happens to a lot of folks.
Yeah, and if there's anything that could be called a typical bankruptcy, this could be it. A married couple, one party lost the job. There's credit card debt. They own a house. They have two cars. It's a very typical situation. And you often hear advertised on TV, on the radio, in newspapers, if people were still doing that, file a bankruptcy, keep your house, keep your car. Well, that's generally true, but like so many things in the law, that depends. It depends on the value of your car. It depends on how much you owe on it. It depends on the value of your house and how much you owe on it. So people can file Chapter 7s, keep their home, keep their cars, continue to pay for them, as long as they're not worth too much. And too much will depend upon the state in which you live, because there are variations in the bankruptcy law from state to state as to how much equity you can have in something that you own, even if it's financed. Equity being car is sold, pay off the car loan, how much money do you have left? If you're within your exempt amount from the state that you in which you live and you do a Chapter 7, you would be able to keep the vehicle. There's a secondary issue to all this, not just keeping the house and car. The values of those items may be such that were you to file a Chapter 7, they wouldn't be taken by the trustee, but your incomes may be too high to qualify for Chapter 7 because there is an income test called the median income means test, which is one of the determining factors in filing a Chapter 7. And as I've mentioned many, many times before, very complicated. So this particular couple, this so-called typical couple, drowning in credit card debt, looking to try to get out of it, might be required to do Chapter 13. What they need to do, contact a local attorney where they live who's experienced, maybe a couple of them as you go to a doctor, you get a couple different opinions, and learn what their situation allows them to do. They happen to live in Missouri. Their exemptions in Missouri are not that high for a house. It's only $15,000. There's other exemptions that they can apply to their cars. But again, they really need to meet with a lawyer, get an understanding of how the law will affect them, and then they can make an educated decision for themselves.
All right. We wish them the best of luck, too. I'm just going to wish everybody the best of luck today. The next one is about medical bills. This person wants to know how they can avoid getting sued when they can't pay for medical bills. Says, I owed my doctor, and he gave me a notice to pay in a few days, or it would go to collection agency. I can only afford a third of the bill. He said he cannot accept less than two-thirds. I'm currently unemployed, cannot afford what he offered. What can I do? What happens if he sues me?
Well, if he cannot, and we keep saying he, we really can't tell from our question whether it's he or she. But anyway, if he doesn't make payment arrangements, doesn't pay this, he may get sued and he can't really prevent the lawsuit from happening unless he files a bankruptcy. But as an unemployed person, he is judgment proof. If the doctor sues him, as long as he's unemployed, there's no way to collect. If he files a bankruptcy, if he has enough debt with this particular bill and his other debts for a bankruptcy to make sense, he can wipe out this and his other debts with a Chapter 7 and protect his wages when he starts working so that he doesn't have to worry about garnishment. If Chapter 7 is something he would do and his assets are valued too high that a Chapter 7 won't work without losing something, then he could file a Chapter 13 to repay his debts once he starts working.
There you go. Well, this is a halfway point in the show, and I just want to share a little bit more information about the firm with our listeners. Joseph Robel Limited, Chicago bankruptcy firm, is known for experience, professionalism, and concern for clients because the laws are complicated. As people here, we do these shows, the situations can be rather complex. No two situations seem to be alike. And the procedures involved and the documentation that can be acquired can be a little overwhelming, especially if you're not familiar with the law. Joseph Robel has 40 years' experience representing clients in consumer bankruptcy, and that experience ensures that your financial situation will be properly analyzed. What will happen is Joseph Robel and his staff understand that you're anxious about the financial problems and you're tired of harassment by creditors and may be uncertain as to whether filing for bankruptcy is what you need. So if bankruptcy will help your financial situation, you'll be properly advised for which Chapter 7 or 13 you may qualify. At Joseph Robel Limited, the entire process from beginning to end will be clearly explained, as well as the documents that you will need to provide. So they'll give you what they call a comprehensive what-to-do-next letter at or after your initial free consultation, and that will guide you through the entire process from start to finish. If you do not need to file, they will tell you. Joseph Robel Limited will not put you in a bankruptcy simply to earn a fee. Joseph Robel Limited is a small law firm of attorneys and staff experienced in consumer bankruptcy. It's not a bankruptcy law factory, and no one will get lost in their office. You will, however, be treated as a human being with the courtesy, dignity, and respect you deserve. The mission at Joseph Robel Limited is to have you take control over your finances through the proper use of the bankruptcy laws. The firm has offices located in the Chicagoland area throughout the counties, Chicago, Deerfield, Gurnee, Naperville, Orland Park, Schaumburg, Skokie, St. Charles, and Westchester. So they can represent clients, Illinois clients in Cook and all the collar counties of Will, DuPage, Kane, LaSalle, Kendall, Lake, and Lake. All right. I also want to remind people that the Chicago Bankruptcy Law Firm and all the blog articles and other resources are available at chicagobankruptcy.com. Now back to our questions. Joe, the next question is interesting. It's about a missing spouse. An individual wants to file for bankruptcy alone but doesn't know where the spouse is. Says, I haven't seen the spouse. I haven't seen, met, or had contact with my spouse for 13 years. But I did not file for a divorce. Can I file for bankruptcy alone? And how can I show my husband's proof of income?
So this woman obviously has done some reading about bankruptcy, knows about the median income test, which requires a review of your last 6 months of gross income. And if you're married and living with your spouse's income, even if you're filing by yourself. But if you are separated, your spouse's income doesn't matter. So she can file by herself, doesn't need to have to worry about what her husband earns, and she'll either pass or fail the median income test on the strength of her own income. If her income's too high, Chapter 13 is a very viable option for her.
All right. The next, well, as to be consistent, I'll wish her good luck. Moving on.
that was also one we could have a nice, clear answer with no depends. Just
right. Doesn't
yes,
happen very
nice
often.
Nice to have that. Yes.
Right. The next person is, again, marriage and divorce and all this stuff. Person got married in October 2014. It says, I have a lot of credit only in my name. Can I file bankruptcy without my spouse knowing? That's interesting. I don't know that that'd be good for the marriage, but can they file bankruptcy without telling their spouse?
Yeah, well, it's exactly what I'm thinking. The answer is yes. She could file without him knowing. How good is she as keeping secrets? How good is that for the marriage? And there's no guarantee that he's not going to find out. A bankruptcy is a public record, like every court matter in this country, and maybe somebody he knows finds out that his wife filed, and it comes up in a conversation. But there's a more a simpler way for him to find out. She will be getting letters and notices from the clerk of the bankruptcy court about her case, assuming she hires a lawyer from her lawyer. So what does she need to do? Get a post office box or a mailbox at mailboxes, et cetera, or something? And then how does she explain that to the husband? And why does the mail stop coming to the house? She'll also be getting advertising after the bankruptcy for car loans, since the credit is now good for credit cards. It's probably not a good idea. And not a marriage counselor. I just do bankruptcy work. It's probably better for her to let her husband know. But to answer the specific question, she can file by herself. She does not have to tell her husband.
Hmm. Very interesting. Good luck to them on that one. Let's see how that goes. That might come back to bite you later. You know, it's interesting. I used to work in divorce firms, and the people with the post office box, I remember your client said, well, half of his mail goes to the post office box. Well, why is that? Well, you know, what are you not seeing? And just raises suspicions. And the money potentially saved in the bankruptcy could be a much more expensive turnout in the divorce. So always be careful of all these things. Very interesting. All right. The next one is someone with a judgment against them. They want to know if they can appeal a collection judgment recently made that says that they were not present for the court date. The papers for the court were served to the soon-to-be ex-husband, who did not give her the papers. And the court date was set. She was not aware of it. She found out as they garnished her wages for 60 days. She says, I've paid about 2,000 of the 3,000 judgments. So again, wants to know if she can appeal it. Interesting.
So there is a process to file a motion, which is a request of a judge to do something in court to vacate that court judgment. And if you're never served with papers, it's possible to do that and possible be successful. But if I were the judge, I would probably tell her that she sat on her hands, she waited too long, the garnishment continued for 60 days, and normally in this kind of a situation, you need to file such a motion right away and not wait. So her chances of being successful are very, very slim.
What are our other options?
Well, if they've been taking out, they're probably going to start again. If the balance of his debt is very small, so if she had enough debt, she could file a bankruptcy and eliminate what's left here plus her other debts. If there's not enough debt, she probably ought to call the attorneys for the garnishing creditor, work out her own payment plan so she doesn't get garnished. Employers don't like garnishment. It's just extra paperwork, and we all have too much paperwork. So that would be her best option if bankruptcy makes no sense for her.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people, too, try to avoid, if the garnishment is coming, people might go for a bankruptcy to avoid the employer finding out about a judgment or a garnishment pot because people are afraid of losing their jobs.
No, that's a big impetus for clients. I get a lot of clients who come in. We do an interview, and they're into the early stages of a problem. They see that they have too much debt, and they're thinking, you know, I'm never going to get out from under this, and maybe I should do a bankruptcy. But nobody really wants to do this. And then some people wait, and they think it over, and they think it over, and then boom, they get a garnishment, and now they come back and see me, and they've already lost some money. So, like I tell many people, bankruptcy is there to use. It's a financial tool. Learn about it and figure out what to do, but don't dilly-dally.
Mm-hmm. Make a decision. Correct. Good
yes.
advice. All right. And best of luck to them. All right. The next is, I have to sue two parties for unpaid rent. This is a tenant speaking here. One of the tenants has filed for bankruptcy. Can I still collect from the other one?
Okay, so this is a landlord who filed a lawsuit. Okay, and the lawsuit provided with a money judgment for the landlord against two tenants. I would assume they probably shared the apartment. One of them filed a bankruptcy. The landlord is still able to collect from the other tenant because the judgment's against two different people. The bankruptcy filed by the one tenant does not protect the other unless that bankruptcy was a Chapter 13 and the plan provides for paying the landlord in full. You can, in a Chapter 13, set your plan up so that you can pay all your creditors maybe 10% on the dollar, depending on your income, depending on the median income test. But you can take a particular debt, like a cosigner debt, or where you have someone on a debt with you, and pay that one at 100% to protect your cosigner. So children will, well, obviously not a child, but if your mom cosigned for you and you're an adult on a car and your car was repossessed and a Chapter 7 wipes out the debt, but your mom gets stuck, if you file a Chapter 13, pay that debt in full, you're also protecting your mother, the cosigner.
Very interesting. All right. Our final question is about Chapter 7, and the person wants to know, what are the consequences? Again, we're still talking about rental property, and this is the theme for today. Rental properties, marriage and divorce. All right. Well, what are the consequences of not reaffirming a rental property in Chapter 7 bankruptcy? Person says, I have an underwater rental property that I want to use in the future as my own home. If I do not reaffirm this debt yet still continue to pay, can I deduct the mortgage interest on it? What happens to my ownership, and what are the long-term consequences if the property gets sold or paid off?
Okay, so the first question, can I deduct the mortgage interest without reaffirming? So let's talk about reaffirming. Reaffirming is signing an agreement with a creditor after a Chapter 7 is filed, only Chapter 7, not 13. And that agreement says, even though I filed the bankruptcy and I am not going to be personally liable to pay you, I'm deciding to make myself personally liable and I will pay you. In Illinois, you need to do a reaffirmation on a car. You don't need to do that on real estate, whether it's your home or rental property. And this is a topic that comes up every month, but it's very complicated, so I don't mind repeating it again. So in this situation, this person filed Chapter 7 or is contemplating doing this and not reaffirming. He will be able to continue to keep the rental property. He needs to keep paying. I would recommend that he doesn't sign a reaffirmation. He won't get credit on his credit report for the payments that he makes. But on the other hand, he's not personally liable. If he falls behind on payments and tenants don't pay him and he can't keep the property, he gets foreclosed, he never has to worry about owing any deficiency. He continues to own the property. He can deduct his mortgage interest, his real estate taxes. If the property gets sold or gets paid off, there's nothing negative about this whatsoever. I hope that makes sense.
That does make sense. And, of course, to be consistent, best of luck to him. All right, well, that's about it. We are out of time today. Joe, let the folks at home know how they can get a hold of you for more information and to ask their own questions.
I think we could title this our Best of Luck program. Okay, ChicagoBankruptcy.com is our website. You can email me, Joseph Robel, W-R-O-B-E-L, at ChicagoBankruptcy.com. You can call 312-781-0996. Consultation's free. We're happy to answer questions. You can check out our reviews on avvo.com, A-V-V-O.com. Our website has videos explaining bankruptcy basics, answers to many questions that people ask, and loads of information. We're in an information age. It's good to know about something before you delve into it, and we're happy to provide this to proposed clients.
Very good, very good. Well, Joe, thank you again for your time, and I'd like to also thank all the listeners out there who tune into these podcasts and download them from the website or from the Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn pages. We hope that you click that like and the share button to share these podcasts with other people, because we never know who in the background wants to file for bankruptcy and not tell their spouse or not find their spouse who's taken off or whatever else. Not everything that, you know, people don't always just, you know, walk around with a sign on their head that says, "I want bankruptcy information." So it's a good thing to do a good deed and share good things with good people. That's all that we have for today and this month. Check back next month for April's Frequently Asked Bankruptcy Questions. And please do feel free to go and submit your own questions. There's no bad questions. The only bad questions are questions not answered, as I always say. That's all we have for today. Everyone have a good week, and thank you for listening. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Nick.
Yep. See you next time.